Luke 13, verse 1. And again, the title of the sermon is Idols of the Heart. And before we read the scripture, let's bow our heads and ask God to help us. Dear Heavenly Father, great God Almighty, Lord, God, I praise you and I honor you, Father, for who you are, God. I love you because you are almighty, because you are merciful, that you are just, that you are holy. Oh God, for who you are, I worship you. And Father God, I come before you in the name of Jesus because He's worthy and He makes me worthy, God. And God, I ask you in the name of Jesus, Father, to anoint me with Thy Spirit, knowing that a man can't preach without Thy Spirit, Father God. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that you anoint my heart, my tongue, my mind. Give me words to speak, Father God. You have your way in this sermon, Father God. Hide me behind the cross of Jesus. You have your way, Father God. May I just be a mouthpiece here today. And may the people receive that word, I pray, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's read that in Luke 13, verse 1. It says, there were present at that season some that told Jesus, of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answering said unto them, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you, nay. But except ye repent, you shall all likewise perish. Or those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay, but except you repent, you shall likewise perish. Amen. You know, the Bible says, we'll get into it in the sermon, that when the Holy Spirit comes, it's going to reprove men or convict men of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Now, today, the judgment of God Almighty has been manifest in our land. We cannot doubt that the things that we saw in New Orleans by Katrina at that time, right when they was getting ready to have this ungodly mass of people there to do all their ungodly deeds, and this hurricane came and it wiped out the city completely and stopped it, was not a judgment of God. Now this Hurricane Wilma, it left that Mexico coast and it cut right towards the Key West of Florida. Right toward it, heading right on for it. Like it wanted to just get there. And I looked it up on the internet, why? They was planning on having a fantasy fest this week and next week with all kinds of ungodly people. Homosexuals and everything else was going to gather there. But God put a stop to it. They said for a time there, that Key West that separated the Gulf of Mexico from the ocean, it wasn't no separation no more. It became one. Then it receded back down. But they don't get to have their festival now. Praise God. We cannot doubt that these winds, this whirlwind, which that's what these things are, giant whirlwinds, are not in the control of the Almighty God. The Bible says, out of the south cometh the whirlwind, and it is turned round about by His counsels, that they may do whatsoever He commands them upon the face of the world in the earth. He causes it to come. God is behind them things. Don't doubt it. God is behind that. That is a clear judgment of God Almighty. Now, many Christians, I'd say many, maybe not the majority of Christians, but a whole lot of Christians, they see these things and they say, that's nothing but the judgment of God against the wickedness of these things, and they're right. But what I'm afraid of is that they look and they point their finger of judgment at these wicked cities and say, oh, that's the judgment of God, and they kindly, you know, take some laughter from it, and at the same time, they got wickedness in their own heart and sin in their own heart, amen. And I tell you what, Jesus turns to us, if we're that way, if we're holding on to sin, and He says, look, except you repent, you shall likewise perish. What is a damning sin? What is a sin that will take you to hell? Most people think it's a large and blatant evil that takes a man to hell, like homosexuality, murder, rape, or robbery. But in truth, a damning sin is any known sin that you will not repent of. You might consider it small. You might consider it unimportant, but if you will not let it go and give it to God, that sin will take you to hell. Amen. The liars will be in the same hell as the homosexuals. The covetous will have the same hell as the murderer. The jealous will be in the same hell as the kidnappers. The adulterers will have the same hell as the rapists. Amen. All. Every sin, every known sin must be repented of. Too many Christians today, they think Jesus Christ is a cloak for their sins. Oh, I'm saved under the blood of Jesus, and if I sin, oh, God doesn't see it. He's a cloak. He covers up for me and lets me go on sinning. But that is a lie. Mark my words, sin will ruin you. If you let sin in your heart, you will begin to die. It don't matter what the sin is. Sin always leads to death. Number one, the first thing it'll do to you, sin will take your Christian joy. It won't be a happy thing to be in the house of God. You'll lose your Christian joy fast. You get sin in your heart. Sin will rob you of your peace with God. Sin will rob you of your witness to others and your power to witness. And worst of all, sin places a wall between you and your God. It blots His blessings, and it causes Him to hide His face from you. Amen? And except you deal with the sin in due season. Jesus said, I gave her a space to repent. Except you do away with that sin in due season, that branch is going to fall from the vine. Jesus said it's going to wither. Men's going to gather it up, and He is going to cast it into the fire. I remember when I was first saved and baptized. I owned over 100, maybe 200 cassettes. Can't remember now. And God saved me. He delivered me from the demon of rock and roll. I didn't listen to rock and roll no more. I didn't want to. It wasn't my kind of music no more. But I had every one of these tapes on my wall. Hundreds of dollars invested in these evil things. And I woke up one morning and God said, son, it's time to get rid of those. You don't need them no more. And I said, now I believe I will wait. And the moment I said I'll wait, and saying yet, instead of saying yes, Lord, I entered into rebellion against my Creator. I still prayed. I still went to church. I still read my Bible. But it began to be like a stone wall above my head. The Spirit of God was grieved inside of me. I ceased to grow. At that time, I was growing like a weed in Jesus. And when I said, I'll wait, Lord, it was like I just stopped growing. Instead of growing, I began to die. And finally, I had to humble myself under His mighty hand and say, yes, Lord, I'm going to get rid of these things. And the moment that I repented of these things, He restored the joy of my salvation. Amen. He restored me and gave my joy back, and I began to grow again. Now, you might not think having these things is a big sin, but it was a great sin. Because the moment I said, no, Lord, I'll wait, I committed the sin of idolatry. And idolatry is a damning sin, you see. Now, there's people, there's Christians, well, I've preached about it before, they pray, they seek God, they cry, they go all through the motions. But they don't get no words, amen. They do all these things, they study the Word of God, till their eyes is red. They pray till their knees are raw. They go to church 7 days a week, but something still ain't right in their heart. They pay their tithes, their offerings. They do all these good deeds, but something is not right within their heart. What is it? They're unwilling to submit to God. Somewhere in their life, God has pointed out a sin, and they said, no, Lord, I believe I'll wait, or no, Lord, I'm not giving that up for You. And the moment they did that, the door is shut, and God cannot bless until you let it go. King Saul was that kind of man. Remember King Saul before King David? He would not submit to God. Once God, He sent them against this heathen nation, and He said, you know, you wipe them out, you don't take none of their stuff. None of it. You burn it, you destroy it. Old King Saul went and destroyed the people and took their stuff. Disobeyed God. He knew he was doing wrong. But instead of turning from that thing, he said, well, I'm just going to offer a bunch of it to God. I'm going to have a great sacrifice to God. So he began to sacrifice these things that God said, don't take. And God sent Samuel to him. And Samuel delivered a word from the Lord. Look at 1 Samuel 15. We'll read what the Lord spoke. And Samuel said, Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry, because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he has rejected thee from being king. What did God want from Saul? He didn't want the burnt offerings. He didn't want the sacrifices. He wanted Saul to humble himself and walk obediently before his God. Now you see how God feels about rebellion. He compares it to two sins that he hates more than almost anything. Sins he despises. God hates. God despises witchcraft. He despises anything to do with witchcraft. He said, don't even suffer a witch to live, he said. And God hates the sin of idolatry. And here he says rebellion and stubbornness is the same thing to him. It's just as bad as either one. Amen? Now what does God require of you, Christian? We read it before, Micah 6:8. He has showed thee, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of thee? But to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God. Now that's what God requires of you. That's what He requires of me. You must walk humbly with your God. Now the word humble means submissive. You are meek. When God tells you to do something, you do it. You are to reverence the Almighty God as the Almighty God. Whatever God commands, you do. Whatever He says, you do. You don't take up arms against this God. When you say, no, Lord, you take up an arm against God. And what? That's what God did. Or that's what Saul did to God. He would not humble himself before God's mighty hand. He refused to obey the voice of God. So God rejected Saul. And except we humble ourselves as little children, He will reject us also. Remember what Jesus said? I'll read it. He said, verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. When baby Lorraine, sometimes when she gets rowdy, I'll give her a look, point my finger at her. Oh, she straightens right up like that. And sometimes she'll cry. She's so meek and humble. And that's how God expects us to be. When we get out of the line, God should just have to give us a look. But He has to do more. He gives us a look. Then He gives us a feel in our heart. We begin to grieve inside. Oh, you're grieving my spirit, God's saying. You're hurting me. You're causing me to sorrow. But we keep going on and on. Then God pulls out the rod of chastisement, gives us a good whipping. And sometimes that works. Sometimes it don't. But if it don't, you better be weary. Because if we do not receive chastisement from the Lord, then the Bible says we are bastards and not sons. Amen? Now, in the Bible days, if a child was misbehaving and the parent couldn't control them, guess what they did? They took them to the elders, and the elders stoned them to death. If they wouldn't submit to chastisement. Now you keep rebelling against God, there's going to be trouble. Now God compares stubbornness to idolatry and rebellion. rebellion to idolatry. Now, what does this mean? People ignore that second commandment. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images and bow down and worship it. People today, unless you're a heathen or a Catholic, you don't bow to images and worship and venerate them. But what people do today, they put idols up in their hearts and they worship them there. Look at Ezekiel 14:2. God talks about it. Ezekiel 14:2. He says, "And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, these men have set up their idols in their heart, and put the stumbling block of their iniquity before their face. Should I be inquired of at all by them? Therefore speak unto them, and say unto them, Thus says the Lord God, Every man of the house of Israel that setteth up his idols in his heart, and putteth the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face, and cometh to the prophet, I, the Lord, will answer him that cometh according to the multitude of his idols, that I may take the house of Israel in their own heart, because they are all estranged from me through their idols." Do we do that today? Do we put idols in our hearts today just like they did back then? When we do, it estranges us from God. It separates us. He cannot bless over these idols. He cannot fill us with His Spirit if we've got these idols in us. Now watch, what are these idols? It's anything in your heart. Anything you got that comes between you and God. Now when I was a sinner, before I was saved, I rejected salvation a couple of times. And one of the main reasons was I didn't want to give up my music. I didn't want to give up certain things. Now, I didn't realize it at the time, but that music that I didn't want to give up was an idol to me. I put it before repentance and coming to God. So that was an idol to me. And music ain't worth that. Man, woman, boyfriend, girlfriend, dope, drink, nothing is worth not coming to God and being saved. Now, after I was saved, for 2 weeks, I told you about that, I refused to rid myself of those rock and roll tapes. And the whole time I held to them things, guess what they were? They were an idol to me because I refused to give them up for my God. Whatever you hold on to in rebellion against God is your idol. Some people hold on to sin to please their husbands, their sons, their daughters, their wives. And if you do that, then your husband, your sons, your daughters, your wife is your idol. They are your God. If you sin to please men, then that man is your God. Amen? It's that simple. Some people rebel, work on Sabbath, withhold tithes and offerings, time from God so they can pay for their car, their home, television. They steal from God and give God's money to friends and family. And usually they're wasting it. And that's idolatry. You don't steal from God and give to others. You don't steal God's time. You don't steal God's money. Now what does God command these people to do? Look at Ezekiel 14:6. He says, "Therefore, say unto the house of Israel, Thus says the Lord God, Repent and turn yourselves from your idols, and turn away your faces from all your abominations. For every one of the house of Israel or of the stranger that sojourneth in Israel, which separates himself from me and sets up his idols in his heart and puts the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face and cometh to a prophet to inquire of him concerning me, I, the Lord, will answer him by myself. And I will set my face against that man, and will make him a sign and a proverb, and I will cut him off from the midst of my people, and you shall know that I am the Lord." Amen. Now that's the same thing Jesus was preaching in Luke 13. He said, "Repent or perish." That is the only remedy for these idols. You repent, amen. These idols separate you from God. They block His blessings, amen. They bring destruction upon us. Jesus said, "Look, if your right hand offends you, if your right hand tempts you to sin, cut it off and cast it far from you. If your eye tempts you to sin, pluck it out and cast it far from you. It's better to go through life with just one eye or maimed than to be cast into hell fire. That's a warning, isn't it? To us. Jesus said the greatest commandment is for us to love the Lord our God with our hearts, minds, and strength. That's the greatest commandment. And when you do that, you will be idol proof. There's no room in a heart that's fully given to God for idols. If we have idols in our heart, then it proves we don't love God like we should. God says, O my people, what have I done unto thee? And wherein have I wearied thee? Testify against me. Right now, God wants you to testify against Him. Who here will say God's not good? Who will say God is not just? Who will say God is not holy? Who will say He's not lovely? Who will testify against God? You got a problem with God? Some reason you don't want to love Him with all your heart when you say His people? I'm a Christian. I love God with all my heart. I hope you do. What does He require of us? He showed the old man what He requires of us. He wants us to walk humbly with our God. He is to be daddy. He is to be father. And when a father is leading his little child, that father is to be in control. He's to take him by the hand. That child is not to pull out of his hand. That child is to walk as he walks. When God stops, he's to stop. When God moves, he's to move. When God says sit, they sit. You see? God is God. We are to humble ourselves under His mighty hand. Now turn with me to John 16. John 16, verse 7. It says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you. And when He is come, the Comforter, the Holy Ghost, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they believe not on me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. Now you see the work of the Holy Spirit. This is His work. He is to reprove the world. That means He is to convict the world of sin. If you can come into a church house and play with sin without conviction, you are in the wrong church house. Amen? God is to convict. Reprove the world of sin, of righteousness. The Holy Spirit is to convict us to walk righteously even as Christ walked. He says, be ye holy as I am holy. And then He says, of judgment. Amen. He is to convict the world that God is going to judge this world through the man Christ Jesus. That's what they preach. The Bible says that Paul preached it to old Felix and them. And he says when he preached about the judgment, old Felix began to tremble, amen. It's something to preach about. Judgment. God is going to judge this world in righteousness. Soon, amen. We are to preach and warn people about it. God wants people to repent of their sins. God says He commands all men everywhere to repent. Turn from your wicked ways, amen, He says. That's what God wants today. He has a controversy with this world. He has a controversy with His church because it's played with sin too long. It's time, amen, that it turns from its wicked ways and lives holy before God Almighty, amen. Now listen, there is no excuse. any known sin in your life is to be repented of now, today. Do not hold back on God any longer. Amen? What is sin? Sin is a transgression of God's law. You break His law, His word. You sin. And it goes a whole lot deeper. We see how idolatry not only deals with graven images, but it deals with these things in your heart that you put before God. Any sin you hold on to before God, that is a graven image. That is an idol in your heart. Amen. Honor thy mother and thy father. What does that mean? Not only your fleshly mother and father, amen, but you are to honor your God, the Father, amen. Why you honor Him is you reverence this Almighty God for who He is. What He says you do, amen. You trust and obey this man. Thou shalt not covet. Too many people, they covet wickedness. They see all the ways we sing about it farther along. They see all how the wicked prospers and stuff, and they covet the things of the wickedness. Don't covet that thing. Don't covet that. Children, don't covet those things. You may look at your friends, and they're celebrating Christmas, and they're celebrating the Halloween. But I tell you what, that is sin against our Almighty God, and this God is going to judge this world. Amen. Praise the Lord that somebody's told you the truth about it. God wants us to be separate. God wants us to be holy. Without holiness, how many people is going to see the Lord? None. God says, be ye holy as I am holy. He says, little children, sin not. But if you sin, you have an advocate with the Father. Confess and repent, and you'll find mercy. That don't mean you continue in it. You hold on to the sin, you have no assurance of salvation. What's the greatest sin in the world today? What's the condemnation of the world today? You know what sinners are going to be judged by most? People that don't know the Lord. Because they believe not upon Jesus Christ. And the wrath of God abides upon them. Everyone that's not saved, that's not trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, been born again and baptized, they're going to be in trouble. Amen? That's the most wicked sin. Think about it. God gave His Son to die. He shed His holy blood. And now God offers the sinner man Jesus Christ. Offers them with all of his heart through his preachers and through the conviction of his spirit and even in song. And they say, no, I don't want Jesus today. That's the most wicked sin in the world today. Amen. Not only for the sinner, but for the backsliders too. Those that's not right with God in their heart. God comes by, look, here's the blood of the Son. I'll wash you and cleanse you and restore you. Just let it go. Repent and come to me and I'll restore you where you should be. And they say, no, I don't want it right now. I don't want to live for Jesus right now. I'll play church once in a while, but I don't want to live for Jesus right now. That is an abominable sin. That is a dangerous sin, amen. The Holy Spirit's insulted with that. Amen. But today, God is calling His people to turn from their wicked ways, to completely humble themselves. You know, I preached for a whole long time about being filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. I left off the most important part of it. Turn from your wicked ways. Confess your sins and turn from them. And then guess what? God can hear from heaven and bless you and fill you with the Holy Ghost. But not until you do that. Amen? Amen? Christian? There's no other way. You can't go around it. You can't compromise with it. You've got to lay down the sin and confess it to God and leave it at the altar. Go on. And then you can be filled with the Holy Ghost. Then God can use you and bless you. Save your family. Use you as a witness. Amen. But until then, you will not be where you need to be with God. So what I'm going to do now, I'm going to open up the altar. And I'm going to pray. And you all pray. You know, I'm going to pray quietly. Silently. So you all can pray the way you need to pray. But if you don't know the Lord like you should, if you're backslidden in heart, right now it's time to get right. Right now God's calling for you to come and get right. In Jesus' name, let's pray.